Thank you for wherever you come in our lives, Father, and your presence is here. Is you want to lift up burdens, Father. You want to free hearts. And you want to fill our hearts with joy. You want to take away every kind of heaviness. And thank you, Lord, that you, through your presence, in your name, Father, thank you that we know. We know that you are here to bring all those things that are good and full of hope. That's the future you have for each one of us. We love you today. We love you, Lord. We honor you. You are the only one worthy of praise and honor. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Presence of God is here, and I really feel it. I feel it in my body too. So that's why I want to release it to him, all what he is worthy for. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for having us today. And we have been here from Friday, and Friday early morning we came. And it is really has been, seeing you all is so good as well. Although it has been 7 years that we haven't been here, but it looks like yesterday because we all have met in our prayers. You have been in our prayers, and I believe the same. We have been in your prayers too. So thank you so much. The prayers are the great connection in the name of Jesus. And we feel that. That's why we don't, the prayers feel that distance. All those years we've been apart, and we still feel like we've been with each other like yesterday. Praise God. And I think that's the refreshment that comes from the Holy Spirit in each one of us. That's a refreshment that really, for us, it is like that. It's a refreshment to come back, meet with friends, go away from ministry, go away from hardships and daily lives that we have back in Albania. I'm sorry, I didn't maybe introduce to some of you who don't know us, but my husband and I, Tomor, and my name is Miranda, and we have Matteo with us. His first time here in UK this time, and we come from Albania, but this church is like home to us. You have been in our hearts so much, and we have so many good memories. Although some we don't see them here, but we know who is the most important person, that who is here, and he's not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that's Jesus. So thank God for that. And we want to really bring all the thankfulness and gratitude to all the support, all your love shown, even whenever we have had Andy and Judith coming over as well. But you have been supporting us all these years, and I really say that with a heart full of gratitude and appreciation, that really we wouldn't be here without having friends, people like yourself that have been trusting in us, as well as your faithfulness in our lives, you know, and in supporting us. We really thank you for that. Praise God. So our church as well sends greetings, and they pray for you. And that's for sure. So, and they are praying for us here while we are here as well. So we thank God for the church is doing well, not without hardship, but it is going strong. Because even in the hardship, we see his presence even more stronger in our lives. And we are going strong, we're keeping on looking at him. So praise God for that. And I see you are doing the same. That's why we honored him together here, like brothers and sisters. There is no, separation. We are in the same presence, in same God, bought by the same blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. I felt something that I wanted to share with you while we were worshiping together. And it was, I see things usually, and then I ask God, what is this? Why are you showing me this? And what do you want me to learn from this when I see things? And I saw a kind of, you know, a burden placed on something that makes it heavier. But on top of this burden, the burden looked like a little wiry metal. But that, although it seems little, it when it's a lot of it, becomes more heavier. But on top of that, I saw a scepter. Scepter? That's how you say, you know, scepter dritsis or?
Huh?
Scepter. Yes.
Scepter.
Scepter. Sorry. Sorry for my English. But on top of it, I saw this scepter. And I can say like a magical, fairy tale magical stick, you know. Yeah. Okay. So I put it, I saw that it was on top of this burden. And then I heard God, this is your authority. And the word that came really clear was authority. Jesus said that all authority on heaven and on earth is being given to him. This is in Matthew 28. And then in Mark, he says as well that in my name, you will be doing wonders. You will cast out demons. You step on
scorpions.
Sorry. I come to the word come in Albanian because I haven't been speaking in English so long. But you will step on scorpions and they will not do harm to you. So in my name, that's the authority we have. And that's the authority you have in every one of you. He doesn't, although today mothers, women are the queens, they have the authority. But this authority that comes from God is for each one of you. There is no there is no avoiding, no one is avoided. Every one of us has the same authority in the name of Jesus. And what we can do, it's what we need to do with this burden. It was on top of this burden. So what we need to do is really get that scepter and use the authority that has been given to our Lord, to our King Jesus. And he said, in my name, you are going to cast out every kind of burden and every kind of burden that even you don't think you have it, or somebody like a Saul put it on you. It was a burden on David. His armature, you know, was a burden on him. But he took it away because it was not for him. You know, there are people who can put a heavy burden on you. You should ask God, what is it? And take it away. Use the authority that God has given you. Because those burdens, they put us down. And they take away our value. They take away who we are in God's eyes. And he sees us so precious and authoritative as well. Like this woman here. But she doesn't have a sword. I think she has a really big heart. For speaking for women today, they are really the queens. They are really the fighters. They are the one to be celebrated so much. Because they go so much, through so much. And they still stand strong. So praise God for all the women today and all the mothers. And John said it very well, that happy, even to those who don't have the motherhood, but they actually have the same elements that a mother can have too. Hallelujah. So happy day and happy Mother's Day to everyone. So going back to this, I was really feeling to pray. Strong, use the authority that we have in Jesus' name to cast out demons, to throw away burdens, and to be totally strong and secure in him and in his name, because we have it. It's not that we need to pray so much, oh God, give me this, oh God, give me. No, we have it. It's in His name. And His name is for you. His name is for us. It's in His name we have life. That's why we are His. And all He has, it's ours. Hallelujah. Joe reminded me today of a crown. And that's the next thing I saw. After we use the authority, I heard the word authority, and I, instead of heaviness, I'll put the crown of you. And I saw the crown, and I was laughing at myself because right in the beginning, John has a wonderful memory. 7 years ago, he took a picture of me trying to match the crown at the gate in London. I'm trying to match that crown on my head. So he took a picture. He remembered that. It came back to me afterwards. But yes, that's what God does with us. When we use the authority, what He's been given to us, He takes away that burden. He pushes away or swipes away everything that makes us worry or burdensome. And He makes us free. And He puts that signs of authority. Who has the authority? The queen has the authority. And you know that very well. And He puts us that as a crown in our head. Amen. Hallelujah. So you are all crowned in the name of Jesus as kings and queens. So am I. Hallelujah. So praise His name for whatever He does. So I pray today, thank you, Lord, that you release that power, authority you've been given to us, and you have given to us, and thank you, Lord, that you make us aware where we need to use it, so we don't let the evil one take away the joy that you died for, so that we can have joy as our strength. And thank you, Lord, that you have made us feeling special just because you took our place. You took our punishment. You went into the cross. You don't want us to go through the same thing you actually paid for. Thank you, Father, for releasing that power over us, that authority over us today in the name of Jesus, that it is being given to us. Open our eyes to see it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. Amen. We love you. God bless you.
Praise God. God is good.
Yes.
And we are all blessed to be together here. I have, as Miranda said, you know, greetings. She gave you the greetings, so I'm not going to repeat myself, but it's always a blessing to be here. And I'm always amazed by the power of God's Word. God's word is pure gold, and you know gold is getting more expensive nowadays. So, and we have like a mine of gold in our Bibles, and I was just reminded by the sister there that, you know, last time 7 years ago I shared about going out. It was like a message on reaching the lost, but while I was sharing, there was this word, you know, about worship, and she reminded me 7 years ago, you know, I was sharing that the worship nowadays is an industry. It's not how it used to be. Now it's becoming, it has that industrial part in it, and we really have to be so careful, because worship is all about Jesus. It's never about us and should never be about us. And it's not about ratings or how many likes or how many downloads it has, because that doesn't really matter. What it matters is, like, are people really worshiping Jesus, or are they just worshiping worship music, you know? So I was reminded of that, and it's really important that that our hearts are focused at the right thing that we need to do, as even as Christians. My word of encouragement today comes from a passage in the Old Testament. I just need to know how many minutes I have left, because I don't want to be
We start walking out about 12:30.
12:30. Okay. I will be walking with you then. All right. So. You know, there is a situation that almost everyone, most of the people I know, they've always been there. It's called the lowest point in life. Some of us have been there, and some of us have visited that place a few times, not just once, and some of us will be visiting that place again. And today, maybe, I hope it's not today that lowest for you, but if it is today, then I believe God has a message of encouragement for you. And we all must remember that when we reach our lowest point, that is not the end. When we reach the lowest point in our life, that is not the end. And dictionary says that being at your lowest point means experiencing extreme emotional, mental, or situational hardship, often feeling like you have lost everything important or hit rock bottom. It is a normal part of life. Amazing, huh? It's a normal part of life that can be a catalyst for change, allowing you to build resilience and start again from a position of acceptance. Amazing. Amazing that the lowest point in our life can actually do that. Maybe the guy who wrote the dictionary was a Christian. Because most of the people I know, you know, they complain a lot when they are at this point, and even if you try to help them, it seems like they want to receive this compassion from others, and it feels like they get more from emotionally from others, and they don't want to get away from that low point. And that's dangerous for us as Christians. We should not do that, because there is all the love you can get. It's in Christ. All the love we can get is there already. So the story comes from a very unusual man in the Bible. Most of you know him, but if you don't know him, you will meet him today. You know, there is a clue. If you met a person who never died but went straight to heaven, wouldn't you want to hear what that person has to say? Oh, I would really like to have a conversation with that person who never experienced death. You know, that's like really a VIP, according to my opinion. And there are many people today, you know, who are fighting death by trying to stay young, you know, all the time. They want to stay young. Maybe not to the point of Dorian Gray, you know, by selling their soul, but maybe like Brian Johnson, who spends $2 million a year in anti-aging regimen. Can you believe? $2 million. But today we can hear from a person who never experienced death, because that's actually the prophet Elijah. He never died. Hallelujah. He's not the only person. We know another descendant of Enoch. He walked faithfully with God, and the Bible says, and he was no more because God took him away. Hallelujah. Swept away, huh? That's a good departure from earth. Hallelujah. And the prophet Elijah was taken directly to heaven, it says, in a whirlwind by a chariot of fire. Hallelujah. What a way to go. Amazing. So this guy actually, you know, in 1 Kings 19, there's a whole chapter about Elijah going through a really difficult time. It's a story of Ahab and Jezebel and him fighting with the prophets of Baal and Asherah, and then him killing these 450. It's like a like really a wonderful story, but we're not going there. I just want to share what happened after this huge victory. I've never seen, you know, that somebody as a person can experience such a huge victory, you know, fire coming from heaven and, you know, just God showing up and making people of Israel believe. I mean, they were all like backsliders, but, you know, a miracle can really make people sometimes believe, especially backsliders. But what happened was that after that, the king, King Ahab, he didn't have a good wife, Jezebel. She threatened the prophet, and she just released. It was like a curse, you know, like the way you killed my prophets, these prophets of Baal. I'm gonna kill you. I'm gonna do the same to you. And obviously, the words always have power. And I think that sometime we can actually experience the lowest point in our lives after a victory, after something good has happened to us. Because we put our guards down, we're trying to enjoy this good thing that is happening. We put our guards down, we don't pray, we don't see God, we don't read the Bible, and suddenly comes an attack and brings us all the way down, you know. And we feel like, oh Lord, but you did such a great thing and now I'm feeling miserable now, you know. And actually that is what happened to him. To Elijah, he came to that point that the Bible says he prayed to die. You know, God, take my life. I don't know if you have ever prayed that, but that is also a prayer in the Bible. Sometime, we maybe don't say, God, take my life, but we can say, like, I wish I was never born, like, you know, like Job did, you know, or we can say, why did this happen to me? Why, God? And we, you know, we complain and, yeah, all this negative talk coming out of our lives. And in this case, you know, Elijah, he just said, I have had enough, Lord. Take my life. Maybe we have not said, take my life, but I'm sure many of us have said, I've had enough, Lord. How many can be honest today and say that I've said, oh, there are so many honest people in this church. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah, I've had enough, Lord. You see, last time we were here, we didn't have a child because my wife and I, we couldn't have children, you know. And this time we have a child because we have adopted Mateo. And he's like the greatest blessing ever, you know. But it took us more than 20 years of praying, believing, asking God, saying, why God? How come other people have kids and maybe they don't want them? And we want a child and we cannot have it, you know? So we have had those low points, really low points, and coming to that point saying, I've had enough, Lord. What is this, you know? I am a believer. I'm a pastor, you know? I believe. If there's anyone in the church who believes, it's me, you know? But, you know, I never understood that even adopting takes maybe even more faith than having a biological child, you know. For many people, having their own child doesn't take much faith, you know. But when we start our adoption journey, you know, it took us a long time to actually have Mateo, which is a great blessing, yeah. So this is just one of my low points, you know, in my life and in our life as a couple, where we said, Lord, I've had enough. You know, people would come, and you know, some people are well-meaning, they prophesy, you're going to have a child, or, you know, you're going to have a son, and you're like, Lord, what are you doing? Is this a real prophecy? Now I can, you know, with redemptive eyes, I can see that that was God's word, but we didn't see that the child would come through adoption, you know. We thought it would be a biological child. And yesterday we were just sharing with other friends here in the area that I'm not sure if I would love my natural child the same as more than I do Mateo. It's like the same love, you know. God gives us love for our children. It's wonderful. Praise God. So, what I wanted to say with this message is that, you know, when you come to this lowest point in your life, that's not the end. It's actually really a time for you to reflect, because God has something special then and there. God has something special when you are reaching this low point. So don't be, depressed. Don't go under. Don't allow this circumstance to really push you down, because you have God with you. Christ is in you. The hope of glory is in us. It's more power inside of you than you can really imagine, how much power God has put in your heart, in your life, after you accepted Christ. So you have, as Miranda said, you have this authority in Christ that can actually help you to overcome this lowest point in your life. What God did with Elijah, he can do the same with us. And I was just trying to reflect on what he did actually for Elijah. So Elijah prayed to God and said, "Lord, I've had enough, take my life." And God, praise God, he didn't listen to that prayer. Okay? The response is really amazing, because if you read carefully in the passage, the first response that God does is he sends an angel. And this is so important. You know, the angel actually came to help Elijah. And you know, angels, it says in the Bible that sometimes they take the form of a human. And you have probably said to some people who have helped you in the lowest point of your life, "Oh, you are like an angel to me. You were like an angel to me." Or what you did, it was like, yeah, it resembles really much an angelic behavior, not a human behavior. So have you ever met a human angel? I have. Yeah, there are so many around us. You know, we just have to have our eyes open. But there are so many these angel people around us, you know. But you know, even with Jesus, because we are reminded that what God did with Elijah, he did the same with Jesus. Jesus, you know, the lowest point for Jesus was at the Gethsemane. You know, it says there that he was praying and his sweat became like drops of blood. And it was like an agony, it says in the Word of God. It was an agony. It was really, really painful, the most painful part of Jesus' life was there, not just on the cross, was before going to the cross, because he knew that once he is there at the cross, the separation would come because of our sin. But you know, when you know you're going to face something, I think the pain is before you face it. Once you face it, it's done, you know. But before you face that, it's really, the Bible says it was agonizing for Christ. But there the Bible says that God sent an angel to Jesus. And the angel had this power to actually strengthen him. Hallelujah. Praise God. So God didn't remove the agony. He sent an angel to strengthen Christ. So even in your lowest point of life, be aware that God will send angels to actually help you, whether it's real angels or whether it's people angels. You know, they will give you strength. So you need to be open. Don't reject help, but be open for the help. Be always open to receive the help, because God has it for you. God has a supernatural help prepared for you. And that is not the only thing, because another thing that the angel did was he gave him food. He gave to Elijah food, and he also encouraged him to rest. You know, sometime to get out of your lowest point, you just need better nutrition and rest. It's true. You don't need just a supernatural, like you don't need that magic wand, you know, to change everything. And we are all at fault with this, that we don't keep the Sabbath, you know. We don't rest. We don't rest. And then this accumulates. It accumulates with time. All these Sabbaths that we have cast away, we didn't rest, it accumulates in our bodies. And then we get weary, we get tired, we get stressful and stressed and whatever. You can name it. You know, because you all experienced, we have all broken that law of Sabbath rest. And then, of course, God, to restore us, he will encourage us to have a better nutrition and actually to physically rest, because that will help you to get over your weakest point. Then another thing that God did as an answer to this prayer, I had enough, Lord, God led Elijah to Mount Sinai, which is, God will lead you to a place of significance, because Mount Sinai is a place where God gave the Ten Commandments. It's a place where the word came from the Lord to the people. So God, in that place that you really are desperate and going through a hard time, you have to be prepared that God will lead you to a place where you will actually get a word from Him, a word that will help you overcome this lowest point in your life, because without the word we cannot change. Without God's word we cannot overcome. It's the word of God that brings life. And it's actually God gave him a new revelation, because you know there's that passage that says there was fire but God was not in the fire, there was earthquake, God was not in the earthquake, you know, and then this, it says the sound of a gentle whisper. So God was in the sound of a gentle whisper. So of course Elijah, he had experienced God of the fire, you know, he experienced this, but he didn't experience that God is also a gentle whisper. So God will lead you in the lowest point of your life. God will also lead you to a new revelation of his nature, of his character, that he is gentle and he is kind and he is for you. He is for us. He wants to help us. He doesn't take any joy in us being at this lowest point. But he knows we live on earth and that there will be those points. Okay? So another thing that what happened with Elijah was that God gave him a new direction, not just a new revelation, but he gave him a new direction. He said, you will anoint this man for a king and this other man for a king, and then you will find also a new leader, which was Elisha. Uh-huh. So God gave him a new direction to go. It was not like, okay, now you're going to get healed and continue doing the same thing. No. It's not the same thing. God, if he's taking you out from a lowest point, that means there's a new stage for you now. There's a new level for you now, because you will also have a testimony how God took you from, like I shared, you know, the testimony of us adopting a child. It's a long story, because it was more than 20 years of prayer and asking God and fighting in prayer, you know, but I can give it shortly because I'm sharing now. But it was really difficult time when you are facing that. So now I have a testimony in that, from the lowest point to a next level of becoming a parent, having a child, raising a child for Christ, etc., etc. So there's always, you know, there will, I'm not prophesying about myself, but I live on this earth, and I know that there will be challenges, because we are not in paradise. We have an enemy. He fights us. If we are in a ministry, he will fight our ministry. If we are in a church, he will fight our church. Because Satan, he doesn't care about unbelievers. He cares what the believers are doing, and he's trying to stop us and put obstacles on our way. So we have to be prepared for warfare. Hallelujah. That picture is a great picture. Yeah. Prepared. We have to be prepared. So at this lowest point, God will give you new directions. So be prepared that, okay, now God will speak something to me. I will have to do something new. God will lead me in this or that way, like God led Elijah. And the last was that, you know, when God spoke to Elijah about Elisha, their names are so close to each other. Sometimes it's so difficult. But what happened was that God didn't replace Elijah immediately. He gave him a helper. So Elisha was a helper. Some scholars say that he was with him around 6 years, you know, helping Elijah in the ministry he did, you know. So God, you have to be open that in your lowest point, God might give you a new friend, a new helper, wherever you are at, you know. So it's not like God says, okay, I'm getting you out of this and you can continue alone. No, God has also people to help you alongside in your new task, or whatever is new, wherever God is taking you. So we have just to see that really when we are going through difficult situations, if we are focused on God, these are some of the things that might happen if we cooperate with God. I'm not saying they will happen automatically, but these are the ways that God helps us if we are open to it. Because if that happened to one person in the Bible, and how God helped him, this shows the character of God. This shows the readiness of God to do the same for us. I mean, we have let's say we have faith for something is because we see it in the Word. I cannot have faith for something that is not in the Word. But if I see it in the Word, like, why do we believe that Jesus heals? Because he healed somebody. I can't believe that Jesus heals if I never heard or read that he did that. You know, you can only believe as much as you know about Christ. So if you know that Christ heals, then you believe for healing. If you know that Christ delivers, you believe for deliverance. If you know that Christ blesses, then you believe that God will bless you, because Christ is the perfect image of God. And in this case, it's in the Word of God, we see how God helps someone at their lowest point. There are other cases in the Bible, but today we're just talking about Elijah. If God did this for Elijah, he can do it for you. We just need to cooperate. We need to cooperate with the Holy Spirit today, and he will, at your lowest point, he will send an angel. He will send a human angel, if not a heavenly angel, to help you. You just have to be focused and trust God that's not the end. The lowest point is not the end. It's actually a beginning of something much, much better and greater that we cannot see for the moment. But if we keep on trusting Christ, you keep on looking at him, then we can see these things, not maybe all of them, but some of them, because it's not necessary to go A, B, C, and D, you know, but some of them from these things that I just mentioned, God can and he wants to do in our lives each time we experience these low points in our life. So that's what I felt that I needed to share today with you, and I hope it was encouraging. Okay, so I will just pray now, if any of you is at this lowest point, that God will just confirm his word and help you to get out of there and see the solution. Lord, thank you. Thank you so much for your word, Father. We just thank you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, for who you are, that you are more than just fire and you are more than just power, that we can hear that gentle, sweet whisper, Lord God, hallelujah, saying to us to come to you, saying to us to listen to you, to focus on Christ and to really see what you have in store for us. And I pray for anyone in this church that is going through a difficult time. Maybe they are at the lowest point today or have been for a season, Lord God, and they can't seem to get out of there. And I just pray, Lord God, that they will see and experience you. I pray for angelic intervention, Lord God. I pray for angels, Lord God, to come, whether they are human angels or heavenly angels, Lord God. I just pray for angelic strengthening. And Lord, if they need to really rest and take care of nutrition, Lord, help them to find the right advice for nutrition and to really rest, because we have all broken the Sabbath, Lord, and that has taken a toll on our bodies and our minds, our spirit. So, Father, I just pray for rest, for food and rest, for those who need it. And Lord God, also, I just pray for new, fresh revelations of your character, of your will. Just praying for fresh words, personal words for them, Lord God, as they are reading their Bible, meditating, studying the Bible. Let the word come out and get in their hearts, Lord, and give them faith and give them strength, Lord. Hallelujah. And I also thank you for new directives from heaven for their lives, Lord, for you are always doing something new. Thank you, Father, for new things in TCF. Thank you for new things in the lives of believers here. Thank you that you give them, Lord God, the godly ideas, the God ideas, Lord, for those new things. And thank you also for helpers, Lord God. Thank you for people who will come alongside them at this time, in this season, people who will help them, who will serve them, people who will encourage them in their ministry. And yes, Lord God, there is future. There is always future for every ministry you have. So thank you, Lord, for good friends. Thank you, Lord, for godly people surrounding us, helping us to get out of this place, this down place, and going to an up place, going to a place of victory where you always always want to lead us in victory. So thank you, Lord. Just thank you, Lord, that you seal this word in our hearts, Lord God, and remind us, Lord, every time we have to face our lowest points, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Amen.